are grateful this morning to have each and every person on the call, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that in Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's hill, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, his bride, the only church you ever read about in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. And that's what we believe, the Bible is right, and has the final authority from God. The Bible said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you're on the call and not a member of the Church of Christ, we pray you do, as the young lady did on yesterday out of Las Vegas. Sister Brittany Moses was introduced to our call and invited to our call by some of the members that are in Japan, Brother Darian Michael, his wife, Portia Michael, shared with her our call from last Sunday. In the sermon she heard on the call here, she obeyed the gospel, and we are thankful for the congregation there in Las Vegas. Brother Gay and them helped us make sure this precious soul was saved. So no matter where you are in our listening audience, if you listen to us today via the conference call, via your phone line, the truth is coming into your home and coming to you. And you can hear it and believe it with all of your heart. You can repent of your sins. You can confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as Sister Moses did there in Las Vegas, no matter where you are. And then upon that confession, we'll make sure we find someone to baptize you into Christ as we participate in and assisted her, getting her to the congregation there in Las Vegas. So wherever you are, here in the Houston area, you don't have to be on this side of town. We'll make sure we get you to the baptism pool. But you got to make the decision to obey the gospel. And then the Lord then would add you to the only church of the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. Then all our brothers and sisters across the nation who have joined us, we appreciate you from other congregations as well. We're still having a Lord's call on Sunday. We're thankful to God that you have chosen to worship with us and continue to join our program. We just ask everyone this morning to let's continue to keep all those in prayer. We've lost several loved ones recently here in our family, and also some personal friend of mine and mentor who we fertilized on Friday, Brother Charlie Hubbard and his family. Keep them in prayer as well. This morning, let's go to Acts chapter 24. We're continuing our study of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24. This sermon is titled, "This I Confess Unto Thee." This I confess unto thee. In chapter 21, as we recap, Paul knew that there was trouble waiting him in Jerusalem, as we've studied. But he knew the Lord's will would be done, no matter what we face, and I talked about that, no matter what you're facing in life, you've got to go through some trials and tribulations in life. And go back and listen to that if you'd like to learn more. Paul was arrested. He's arrested now. He stands before an angry crowd in Jerusalem. They're upset at him. He's going through all these different trials. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus went through with the six trials at night he did. He went through all these different trials. They're trying to find something wrong, that he'd done something wrong. Paul hadn't done anything wrong. Paul makes his defense before the chief priest in chapter 23, Ananias, and also he went before the Sanhedrin court. So did Jesus. And then in chapter 23, again, we learned that the Lord stood with him. God used Lazarus, the chief captain, and he commanded an army of 470 soldiers to take Paul to Rome. And we showed how when God stands with you, no one can defeat you. If God be for you, who can be against you? And today, going into chapter 4, Paul is still, we're going to have to be dealing with this, chapter 24, 25. We'll see that before Paul departs onto his trip. And he's got to deal with some adversities and some trials and tribulations and even some pain he'll suffer. He's suffering pain, being beaten, and now he's locked up and being escorted, being as a prisoner, he's been treated this way. But now Paul says this. Acts chapter 24, again, the sermon title, "This I Confess Unto Thee." That's going to be my emphasis. What will you confess? So I want you to listen carefully. In verse 1, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with elders, with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Now Paul is in Rome. 5 days after his arrival comes Ananias and some other Jews in the Sanhedrin council with a certain orator named Tertullus. Keep in mind, Paul has already faced this group, the same group of people, but because he is a Roman citizen, now he must face the Roman governor. Now, this group been trying to kill Paul from the very moment that they knew of, they heard of him. And they want him dead. They want Paul dead. Their motive is wrong. So what do? They bring their best orator. Now, what is an orator, Brother Brooks? It's a spokesman, kind of like a lawyer speaks for you. Somebody that can speak eloquent. Webster says the ones who can speak in public, or especially one who's distinguished by eloquent speech, they know how to say it the right way to present it to a case before a judge. That's kind of like a lawyer, or somebody who can publicly speak. Let me remind you, this is the way the devil works too. He wants us dead spiritually. Don't you think for a minute that the devil don't want us to lose our soul. And the devil have orators, people that will help you lose your soul. He going to present the best orator to present his message. Listen to this orator. And I'm going to say more about him and what we face today. And just place this in your mind. There are people, the devil has, he has an army. The devil is powerful. And the devil have those spokesmen on this earth that will speak to you. They'll come in sheep clothing. Wolves in sheep clothing. That's correct. That's correct. So let's keep this in mind. Now look what verse 20, chapter verse 2 says in Acts 24. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. And the first thing this orator is doing, this guy has ill motive. It's evil what he's doing. He's going to falsely accuse you. Now, the orator of the devil is going to throw it out by telling lies. You know, the devil is the father of lies. But watch these lies this guy going to tell. This is why the devil is called the accuser in Revelation 12 and verse 10. He's cunning. He got wiles. He's trickery. You got to be aware of the wiles of the devil. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, you all. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities in high places. We got to remember that. And what we're fighting against, when you start fighting the spiritual war to save your soul, you're not fighting. Your fight is not with me. Your fight is not with man. We're talking about a devil who we know this guy has ill motives. Now look at this guy's cunning ways. Watch how he butter up the governor. Listen to him now. I'm gonna explain to him. Just listen to him. When he's called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, talking about Paul, saying, see that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. And we accept it always in all places, most noble Felix. See, he's buttering up Felix. But I always think one of them to get his attention to listen to him. Notwithstanding, thou be not further tedious, meaning boring or weary, unto thee. I don't want to bore you what I got to say. I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency. A few words, kindness, mean clemency. But just, we want your time. He said, I would, the Lord already smooth. He starts out saying, most noble Felix, I'm so thankful to be here before you. I don't want to bore you with these few little things I have to say. And I'm going to say it. We appreciate your kindness for allowing us to present our case. We have found that's kind of like you see a judge today, a lawyer today. They go before the judge and they try to win the judge over in the beginning of their speech. So here's this guy, Tertullus. That's what he's doing. We have found that here. Now he's going to start talking about Paul. We have found this man talking about Paul. Notice what he said. Number one, a pestilent fellow. And a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, would have judged according to our law. The Jews, talking about the Jewish law. So what are they? What is he presenting to Felix? What is his first accusation? What is he accusing Paul of doing? This devil's, this one of the workers of the devil. What is he doing? What does he present to the Felix about Paul? Lies. He said Paul was a pestilent fellow. That's the first lie. This means he was a troublemaker. Paul wasn't a troublemaker. He wasn't there making trouble. He said he was a mover of the sedition of Jews. This means he was stirring up fights and riots among Jews. That's another lie. He said he was a ringleader of the Nazarenes. This is the reason they're upset at him. Because that he was a ringleader of this group called the Nazarenes. Going about to profane means to defile or corrupt the temple. That's another lie. So he's lying on Paul. This orator is lying on Paul. Jesus was of Nazareth, yes. He was a Nazarene in whom Paul was preaching. So now the Jews are upset because they crucified the one that Paul is talking about, who is Jesus of Nazareth. That's why they call him the Nazarene. He's a ringleader of the sect. You know, he's a standing for Jesus, who was a Nazarene. He was of Nazareth. This orator of the devil, he presented Paul as a ringleader of a sect of Nazarenes, as if this group is a religion not authorized by the Roman law. He's trying to find something that he can be guilty of. Oh, no, not so. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ, authorized by Jesus of Nazareth to preach the gospel which the Jews are disagreeing with. Because he's accused. When Paul preaching the gospel, he's telling them, y'all killed Jesus. They don't like that. What they call Nazarenes are really the disciples of Christ. The Christians are the disciples of Christ. We know them as the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. This is the Church of Christ. He's talking about the people who obeyed Jesus became members of the Church of Christ, Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church daily that you should be saved. So the saved people, the people he's speaking of, are not called Nazarenes. They're not from Nazareth. These are people who obeyed the gospel and became Christians. So they're lying on him, setting him up, trying to make it. He got this sect of group, like we would call a cult today, a group of people who are going against what's true. No, that's not what's happening here. What they mean about Paul, what did they mean about Paul profaning the temple? What was that lie about? This meant that Paul was defiling the Jewish temple. See, he was going against what they teach in the Jews. That'd be like me going into a Catholic assembly. Yeah, Baptist assembly. Now I'm going in there with some truth, and they're gonna say I'm profaning the Bible. Because if I go into a Baptist assembly, I'm gonna tell them the Bible said holy reverend is God's name. That's the first thing. I'm gonna tell them that. I'm gonna tell them that there's no Baptist church in the Bible. I'm gonna tell them that. I'm gonna tell them that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. Three things. They're gonna say I defile the whole temple. I defile that whole assembly. When I walk into a Baptist church, I can defile it by telling the truth. But the truth is still the truth. I walk into a Catholic seminary, I go in there and say, call no man father, Acts 23:7. That's defiling. That's profane. They don't like that. They ain't going to like me telling them there's no Catholic church. They ain't going to like telling me the Pope is not God, because they believe he is. He's the vicar of Christ who stands instead of another. That's the vicar. Yeah. I'm going to tell them that catechism or that Baptist manual is not come. That didn't come from God. That book didn't come from God. Are you in the Baptist church? Are you in the Catholic church? Are you in the Methodist church where they have the Methodist discipline? Yeah, when they call a man father, they sprinkle him with Bible in the Bible, they baptize folks. What are you saying, brother? Bro, I'm saying I can defile any temple if they want to call that defiling by telling the truth. Did Paul tell the Jews the truth? Absolutely he did. This is the charge under, see, but they knew this. This is the charge under Jewish law that would bring the penalty of death. And this orator of the devil, Tertullus, along with the others, know that the Romans normally enforce this law. They know normally here they will enforce death penalty on someone who goes into and profane the temple. That was something you just didn't do. The orator of the devil will bring his best charge for your spiritual death. Listen to the rest of this orator's comment. Verse 7. But the chief captain, Lysias, came up on us, and with great violence, look at that, great violence, took him away out of our hands, commanded his accusers unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge by all these things whereof we accuse him. In other words, this is why you have him and not us. He said, this is why they had to bring him to you, Philip. Because what he did, this guy, he's talking about Paul, Lysias couldn't do nothing, because Paul wasn't doing nothing, caused a lot of violence, and took him away out of your hands, command his accuser to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself making that knowledge. Now notice it. If you go back to last week's lesson, you'll find that Paul, there was no violence involved. There was no violence involved. They came, he sent soldiers, get Paul, put Paul on the back of a donkey, and led 400 soldiers, led him out of the town. Lysias led that. Paul never did anything wrong. He never had any violence. There was no fighting done. This guy just lied out of both sides of his mouth. He just lied. What is he doing? He's trying to cause him to be killed. They want him put to death. Now, the father of lies is the old devil himself, y'all. And he wants each of us to die in our sin. That's what he wants. That's him. He wants us to die in our sin. If you're going to listen to us, if you're going to listen to what man say and don't listen to the Bible, listen carefully. You may be on my call or where you are, like Larry is. I don't know where you are and where you're located, but here's what you can hang your hat on this one. If you don't choose that the Bible is right over your grandmother, your mama, your brother, your sister, your daddy, your husband, your wife, it don't matter who it is, your preacher, your reverend, your father, you're going to lose your soul. As you said, Brother Brooks, I'm going to say it again, you're going to lose your soul. See, when you start talking about the father of lies, you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Garden of Eden, where the devil told one lie. He said, God said, if you eat of that fruit, of that tree, you're going to die. And the devil came back and said, now, you shall not die. See, so here it is. The devil going to use any lie he can to cause you to lose your soul. I'm going to list some of them that they're using today. And I already started. I started with Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Catholic. And it's not about the people. Let's get that right. Let me just make sure you understand. I'm not pointing out the people. Like, this guy didn't point out the Jews. He didn't point out those who was in it. He didn't say nothing about who the people is, what their motive was, and their intents of it. Even if your intent is good, if it's not God's will, if it's not according to God's will, if it's not according to the teaching of the Bible, you're going to lose your soul. And you need to be aware of that, that you can lose your soul by listening to people and listening to men. Now, this old devil, he's the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. Anyone who stands with him is ministers. He has ministers. He has those who are standing with him and going to continue to tell these lies. And that's why we have to preach these things so people can know what the truth is. Yeah, that's why we have to do it. So was there violence? No. Did Paul create any problem? Are any of these accusations true? The answer is no. They're not true. But when you start looking at the Bible, you got to make some decisions. You got to make some decisions. Am I going to believe the truth over a lie? Am I going to believe the Bible over a man? That's what you got to decide. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to make that decision. You got to decide who are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Let's go back to the Bible. Listen to this. This orator, this spokesman for those who are trying to kill Paul. Verse 9. And the Jews also assented. Look at that. Saying that these things were so. Notice this. They go along with it. They go along. These people standing on the side, these Jews who really wanted Paul dead, know this stuff not true. They know this man did not do all that, but they going along with these lies. What are you saying, my brother? They're going to people who will go along with lies because their motives are wrong. What's going on here is this man, their intent is to kill Paul, and all these people knew that these accusations were lies. But their heart and their heart's desire is that they see this man die. Listen to Bible, 2 Corinthians 11. go to verse number 13. Paul says there, for such a false apostle. See that? So there was, in this case, there were some saying they were apostles like Paul. They're false apostles. Deceitful workers. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And said, no more with me. Don't be surprised. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Look at that. Satan can come before you as an angel, looking like an angel. What do you see today? Men with robes on and all this stuff, folding their hand and walking holy and all that. Coming as if they angels of light, like they bring the truth. They're in darkness. Satan in darkness. He's not, there's no light in him. God is light. Then Paul says in verse 15, therefore now, since you know that, there's no great thing if his ministers, those are the orators I'm talking about, his ministers. Satan has ministers? Yeah. Also be transformed as minister, and they minister the right. They speak as if they're righteous. I think about Joel Osteen, how smooth he is and the things he says. God wants you. He's so smooth. He's a good orator. And he tells people lies like, all God wants you to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Repeat after me right now. Let him into life. And great things will come. Abundance of living. Great orator. All you have to do is say this prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. Come into my heart, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. And he'll forgive you. And then he tells you, go find your church of believers. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Joel Osteen is one of the biggest liars of the Christian umbrella, him and the Pope, along with T.D. Jake, T.D. Fake, and all these guys out there telling people these lies. You say, Brother Brooks, what? I'm telling you, you can say Brother Brooks said it. It's recorded. You can go to our website, send it to T.J., send it to Joel Osteen. Here's what you're saying, what I'm saying, Brother Brooks. Orators are men who can speak smooth things. They can say it. Here's how you verify. And I dare you to do it. Check behind me. Read it for yourself. Don't just, I said, go read it. If you can read it, then you can believe it. If you believe the Bible over Joel, you'll believe that John 9:31, it says, this we know God hear not sinners. So if Joel says, pray the sinner's prayer, the Bible says he hear not sinners, you already can identify who told the lie. It was Joel. It was T.D. Jake. Yeah. It's the Pope telling a lie. Call no man father. That's Matthew 23:7-9. Jesus said, call no man father. The Pope said, call me holy father. Now, who told the lie? Was it God? Was it Jesus? Was it the Pope? He said, now, Paul says here, therefore it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, who in shall be according to their works. They're going to have to answer to God. Let's go back to Acts. So these Jews are going along with it. How many of you are going along with something you know ain't true? How many times you've heard this truth and you just keep going back to the same church building? You know this is not true. You're going along with it. Listen to Paul taking offense against the devil, the devil's orator and his friends. So he got an orator, Tertullus, and all the Jews that want Paul dead are going along with it. People going along with wrong. Look at this. Verse 10. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation. So Paul starts to speak. He said, I know you've been a judge of this nation. I do more cheerfully answer for myself. All of us one day got to remember that we'll get the answer for ourselves. No matter what people say in this life, you're going to stand before God one day, the just judge, and you're going to answer for yourself. That Paul said, I can answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand, the reason he's answering and standing up for what he believes to help Felix understand, that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. 12 days ago. And they did not find me in the temple, disputing with any man. He said, he started to say, he called it Tertullus a lie already. He said, he's lying about that. Neither raising other people, I didn't do that. Neither the synagogue, nor in the city, I did that. None of that. neither can they prove what the things were they now accuse me. Here's the lesson. Here's the lesson. When we answer for ourselves, we should be able to say I'm innocent and no one can prove us wrong. If you live in a life and you believe what you believe, you don't have to go around trying to prove it wrong. They can't prove it. That's why you all live in a way where people can't prove you're wrong. Be blameless in a sense. What can the devil orators, I'm asking you, y'all know, listen, what can the devil orators and his friends and all the Jews, all the people who are looking at your life, what can they say about you that will be true? Can they say you're shacking? And they can prove it. Are you shacking this morning? Both of y'all listening to me right now? No, you're not married. So the people looking at you, going to your place or wherever you live, they know you're not married. And you call yourself a Christian. Could they prove it? Or would it be the truth? Or you say, no, that's a lie. Or could they prove that you're stealing? Or you're cheating? Or you've been lying? Can someone prove that you've been unfaithful? He's a Christian, but I don't see, only time I see him go to church once a month. I say, man, we can prove you're not worshiping. We can prove you're not faithful. Who on the call today, if your friends and family could prove that you've been delinquent, that you left the Church of Christ, you knew the truth, you left the truth, and you haven't been back? I mean, how many could prove that? When you stand before God, all this proof will come, because it'll already be known by God. Ephesians 11:12-13 says, that is the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, to fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of men. For God, the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. See, on the day of judgment, you can't get away with none of this. But your people looking at your life. What a father on the call. What can your children prove? Or dad beat mom? Dad is a drunk. Dad is on drugs. Dad is never here. Dad left mama to take care of us. What are you going to say about you? Can your kids prove that? What about a mother who's not been there for a child? You're shacking. You're showing your little girl what it is that you don't have to marry. You let men in and out of your house. How are you showing them the truth? What can they prove on you, sister? What can they prove about you? What could they prove about your life? Or can they prove that you're drinking and partying and doing the things? Anybody on the call today know some things in your life that people could prove that you're a troublemaker in the church when it comes to things at the church going on? You know, people in the church are troublemakers. Every time something comes up, they're negative. They're always trying to cause a problem. Why? Can people prove that? Here's what I'm saying. If you've got to understand this, that when we stand before God, all the things that people can approve today that you did contrary to the will of God are the things that are going to cause you to lose your soul. So ask yourself the question. I have to ask myself the question. As a father, what can my children prove about me? As a Christian, what can they prove about me? As a preacher of the word, what can the congregation prove? That Brother Brooks, that you know, he preaches, but he don't live it. Can they prove that? He preaches, but he take away from the word of God, or he add to it. Can you prove it? Can you prove it? See, so I don't have to walk around, look at me, I'm Brother Brooks. I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. My life ought to prove it. My life ought to speak for itself. So should yours. So should everybody listening to me. Every brother who works in this service. What can your wife prove on you that God already know? If we knew it, brother, and you in this service, you serving around the table, and she know what kind of husband you are, can she prove it? That you, a brother, should be sitting down, not working. Should be working on your marriage. Could your wife prove that? Or are you a wife on this call that your husband could prove that he's not an elder because of you? Because of your life? He can't be the man he wanted to be because of you. Can he prove that you're pulling down? Can he prove that you're not submissive as a wife? What can he prove? You see the point I'm going. Here's where I'm headed. Next verse is where I'm headed. Look at this. But this I confess unto thee. There's the sermon title right there. Paul said, man, they said all this. But let me tell you myself. Let me confess who I am and what I'm about. Now watch Paul. Now watch this. Now every one of us should be able to, we should be able to make this thing. When people say, I can sit here and listen to y'all talk about me all day, and I can stand up and tell you about me. I can tell you about me better than you can tell me about me, because I know me. Paul said, here's what I'm going to tell you. This I confess unto thee, that after the way, underline the way, what they call, they say is heresy, which is someone who's left the truth. So worship I the God, underline that, of my Father, believing all things, underline that. Well, he's making confession here. Which they are written in the law and the prophet, that's the Bible. Have hope toward God. So confess, he's confessing. He know the one way. There's only one way. I'm going to give you that in a minute. That he worship one God. He believe everything that's in the Bible. And have hope. I confess I have hope toward God. Which they themselves also allow. There shall be a resurrection of the dead. Both of the just and unjust. He said, I'm confirming there's going to be a judgment. I confess that I believe there's a judgment. And the people are going to get resurrected. And herein I do exercise myself. I want to tell this to you, sir. I have always a conscience born of offense toward God and toward me. I'm confessing that my conscience is clear that what I've been standing up saying to these Jewish people and all those who listen to me, I have not offended God and I have not offended man because I'm telling the truth. Just like Brother Brooks. I'll preach at a funeral and somebody said, well, you shouldn't say it. This is not the time. That's okay. That's okay. That's what you say. But did I offend God? Did I offend God? And then telling the truth doesn't offend men who want to know the truth. It offends those who don't want to know the truth. So that's not an offense counted by Jesus. Jesus offended when he told them. He called them hypocrites. He offended them. Jesus offended people. And Jesus said this, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. They both going to fall in the ditch. Jesus said, let them alone. If truth offends people, let them alone. They blind. And they both, he said, the blind lead the blind, both gonna fall in the ditch. That's what Jesus said. So we should not be too concerned about that. That's what he said. He's teaching us this. And Paul was one who was saying to these people, I did not offend God. My conscience is clear. I didn't offend God and me. He's making it clear. He's making it clear. Making it clear. So a truth offends. My point is here, is truth would offend people who don't want to obey the truth. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Jesus said. No. They both shall fall in the ditch. The blind can't lead the blind because they're blind. When people don't want to open their eyes to the truth, they can't lead people to the truth. You got to believe the truth to be able to lead people to the truth. Now look at this. Go back to verse 17. After many days, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object. The people that accused me, telling you what the Jews, other people said I did, where they at? Why they ain't up here accusing me? Why is this man, Tertullus, getting to speak for everybody else? That's what Paul is saying. Yeah. They ought to be here. If they got something I done, you ought to stand up and say it. Don't be talking about a man back. Don't be just going along with something. Come up here and make your case. Or else let these say, if they have found any evil doing in me, well, I stood before the council. He said, why you got this one man speaking? Anybody here that I offended, let them stand up and say it. That's when you're confident you've done what's right. Except it be for this one voice. And I cried, shouted, I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection. I am called and questioned by you this day. Paul sums up, here's why I'm here. The reason I'm here is because I preach Jesus Christ, him resurrected from the dead. That's why they want to kill me. Church of Christ, there's a lesson here for us. When we stand before an audience of the world of accusers, orator of the devil, we must be able to confess this one thing. We ought to be able to confess that we believe in the one way. We follow the one way that means the way that means the one way. We worship the one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because here's why we do this. Just like Paul said, because he believed everything all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Now I'm going back and laying out the things that he confessed. He said, I confess that I'm in that one way. I confess that that I worship one God. I confess that I believe everything in the Bible. I'm going to make that same confession this morning. I confess that. I believe in the one way. I believe in the one God. And I believe in everything in the Bible. This means we confess that we follow the one way written in the Bible called the Bible. In the book called the Bible. What is that? What is that one way? Paul was keeping. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Turn your Bibles there. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation with which we are called. You are called. We're all with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. And blessed them with all spirit and blessing in heavenly places in Christ. There is one body. You see that? There is one body, there is one spirit, and ye are called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. I confess this morning, as Paul confessed, I confess, I believe in one body. That body is the church, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and the verses number 22. Colossians 1:18 tell us that the body is the church. The body, if you say there is one body, there is one church. Listen to the Bible. Colossians 1:18 says this. Listen to it now. Listen carefully. Turn there and read it. And he is the head of the body, comma, the church. See that? He's the head of the body, the church. So what is the body? It's the church. Drop down to verse 24. Colossians 1:24. Who rejoice now in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, that's twice I read it to you. In Ephesians 4:4, he said there's one body. Go back over there. Here's what I'm confessing to you. There's one body, I believe. That one body means church. What church is it? Let's go back to the same book. The truth is in the book. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with holy kiss. The churches of Christ in the Judea. Which church is the one church? It's the church of Christ. Now, any man tell you anything different, that didn't come from the Bible. Brother Brooks confession, I'm going to tell you there's one church because that's what I believe all the Bible. Just like Paul said, I believe all the scriptures. I believe all the scriptures. I believe in one spirit, like Ephesians 4:4 through 6. One Holy Spirit, one hope, heaven, one Lord, Jesus, one faith in God, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah, no. One God, one faith, one belief, one baptism, that's in one, and one God. So I said, well, I was baptized before. Let me just help you now. The Bible teaches us that you can be, in Acts chapter 19, go back and listen to my sermon, there are some people who thought they were saved. They had been baptized under John's baptism. If you have been taught right, your baptism is not right. That's for visitors on the call. If you're on the call, you say, well, I believe everything you said, Brother Brooks. I got baptized early as a Baptist. I got baptized early as a Methodist. I didn't say nothing about it. Nobody's Bible said they were that. So, you know, I can't go along with that. You're going to have to get baptized according to truth, knowing that you've been added to the one true church like you have the one baptism. You can't have the one baptism, not the one church. Then you can't have the one God. You can't have the one faith, the one hope, the one spirit, the one Jesus, because they all one. They all one. This all equals the way. That one narrow way is these ones right here. This is commanded now by Jesus. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 14 and verse 5. Jesus commanded this. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where that goes, and how can we know the way? Notice what Jesus' response is to him. I am the way. Now, people want Jesus. They want the way. They quote this, I got Jesus. I am the way. Jesus, I am the way. As long as we follow Jesus, we all right. No, he said something else. The truth. It takes truth to get Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Only Jesus can authorize the one way to get to the Father. He did it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he said this to the people. He said, you better be listening. We all need to be listening. Members of the church of God need to be listening. There's a straight, narrow way. You got to not only get baptized and be in the true church, but you got to live right. Listen to Bible verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many there would go therein at that. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. See, this, Jesus already said it. There's a narrow way. Paul said to them, I'm of the way, that one true way, which lead unto life. But there few there be defiled. Y'all see that? Jesus told people what to do to get into this one way. I'm going to get that at the end. But the people, let's go back to this Tertullus guy, this orator. This guy had lied all these lies he told on Paul. Just like today, in modern day, 21st century, I bring here, orators of the devil. I've been naming them this morning. Some of the most popular ones that I've named. They'll preach any church would do. That might be your little pastor down there on the corner church that's got his little building and making his money and driving his fancy car and calling people, just tell them whatever they want to hear. He'll say, any church would do. As long as your heart is right, you're going to heaven. Every funeral is a homegoing celebration because except Jesus is personal savior. And in the Bible, nobody accepts Jesus as personal savior. In the Bible, they had obeyed by gospel. They had to be baptized. They'll preach anything. They'll preach another savior like Muhammad. And you hear these black Hebrew Israelites, be careful. By getting anything, they put a color on it. Something wrong with that already. God sees us all in one blood. They're trying to convince us, all of us who are black, that we God chosen people. And, God chose mankind as a whole. As a nation, all nations. That's what Jesus got up and said after he died. He said, go teach all nations, all nationalities, regardless of color. Skin color doesn't matter. It's about the blood. We all bleed one blood. Jesus died for all of us. Amen, somebody. Anybody who comes in here trying to promote one race is racist. We'll preach, they'll preach no baptism, people who speak for the devil. It says baptism not necessary. What Peter said, 1 Peter 3:21, now baptism does also now save you. The orator of the devil come back and say, well, you know, baptism don't save you. It's just an outward sign of inward belief. Well, the Bible never said nothing about no outward sign of inward belief. The Bible said baptism saved. Paul Peter said that. Now, who would know better? He was right there with Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe in him, baptized, shall be saved. He said, brother, but what do you know? I'm telling you all who are listening here that are not members of the church that have not been baptized, you need to know this before you die. That you have not been told the truth. Some say in America, in God we trust. Yet say you have the freedom of religion. You have the freedom to abort your baby. Freedom to abort your baby. That's murder. You have the freedom to marry a man to marry a man. That's homosexuality. That's same-sex marriage. They're pushing that down our throats. There's commercials everywhere now. Those are orators of devil. Don't you know that? Anybody who promotes that in Congress, anywhere else, orators of devil, they're speaking on behalf of a sinful thing. And this is a great disease that's killing all of us. It's sin. And there are different variants of it. Just a difference. Like this Delta variant with the COVID right now. It's just a different variant. It's still going to kill them. So, you know, the homosexuality kid, that's just a variant. It's still sin. Homosexuality is sin. Same-sex marriage is sin. Maybe abortion is sin. Yeah. So you go down the list. And people, they want us to say it's okay. No. We can't do that. You have a freedom of religion. God didn't ever give you no freedom. God never gave us freedom of religion. There's one God. There's one narrow way. We cannot preach another God. I dare not preach another God. What? There's a straight and narrow way. Just look at what is going on today, what the world called Christianity. Nothing but confusion. But we know the Bible says God's not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. A church on every corner teaches something different under the umbrella of Christianity. He said, brother, why are you hammering on this? Because this is what's going on right there with Paul. These people are lying on Paul, and Paul speaks for God, and they lying on Paul, which means they're saying Paul is lying on God. So he's not lying on God, neither am I. But you need to know who's lying to you. If you go base your soul, the most precious thing you have, on something I say, then it ought to be coming from the Bible. You ought to be able to go read it. I'm giving you scripture for the things I'm saying. The narrow way are the preachers following the written word of God, as I close. That's my point. My point this morning is this. You gonna have to confess one day to God. But what you confess right now ought to be what you're gonna confess for God. What did you believe? That's what I'm convinced after 36 plus years now, that people who call themselves Christians want to do what they want to do, they don't believe the Bible. See, that's your problem. In the Church of Christ and out of the Church of Christ. You know, your Church of Christ people are doing stuff. If you're going along with things and worship, if you can't read the Bible, you know that that's not authorized to be doing all that beatboxing, dance, and praise teams and all that stuff in the Bible. And you had a congregation that's doing that. Do you not believe the Bible? That we are to do things decent and in order? No, you're a church was doing, got brought instrumental music in, you got pianos and guitars and things like that. That's not authorized in the New Testament. Nobody in the New Testament Christian that followed Jesus worship with instrumental music. Are you in a church where they going to take the Lord something but once a month or once a week? I mean, once a month, excuse me. In the Bible, they took the Lord something every Sunday. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Look here, let's remember that those of us who are in the Church of Christ must stay with the pattern of the New Testament and not get away from what Jesus taught. We've got to stay with that straight, narrow way. And Brother Brooks, I'm going to be that man that's going to stick with it. I'm going to preach it. Doesn't matter where. I'm not seeking fame or fortune. I'm just going to stand just like it's written right here, and I'm going to keep doing it. Because I know one day I got to stand before the judge. I got to stand before him. I'm going to confess right now my belief to anybody who listening to me. Now, I ain't mad at you if you don't believe what I'm teaching. That's your business. You have that right. Just like I said, I'm not mad at people who don't get their vaccination. I got mine. That's because I made my own personal decision. If you don't want to get yours, you want to die from COVID, go right ahead. That's your business. If people are going to die and they sin and they don't want to obey God, you have that right to make those decisions and do whatever you want to do. But remember this. That decision can lead to a consequence that you'll regret for the rest of your life. I'm talking about the COVID side. Or a consequence for the rest of eternity. That's even worse. The consequence of not being treated for this sin condition you have by Jesus' blood, which is what's going to save us, is the blood of Jesus, or worshiping in places that are in vain, like Jesus said in Matthew 15:8. There are people who get close to him with their mouth. They call on him as Jesus. They honor him with their lips, but they have their heart is far from him, he said. Matthew 15:8-9. Meaning they're not listening to the scripture. You're listening to your uncle, your grandmother, your grandfather, your sweet grandmother, and no matter how sweet she is, she can be wrong. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Church of Christ, you got to remember, right is right, wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. You can be worshiping in vain. People will call you a visitor. You said in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of me. You follow along with me and we're teaching things that are not found in the scripture, you're going to go down with them. And I'm going to close now. Listen to this words of God. Go back to verse Acts 24:22. We're ready to close it out. Listen to him as he speaks to Felix. An orator of God. This is Paul speaking now. This is a man. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it the ability which God give it to God, and all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. See, so that's where I want to be this morning. Let me understand this. I'm using my ability to try to help you. My ability that I try to really utilize is trying to keep it so simple that you on the day of judgment would have to stand before God with no excuse that it would work. See, because everything I'm saying right now, don't you know God know that you heard it on this call? It's on your record. You cannot say you didn't know. That's what I push in my ministry, is try to make it so plain, so simple, that the least educated person on this call can never say, Brother Brooke, I heard you preach one day, but I didn't understand what you were saying. No, you're lying at what you're doing. Because you can understand one. You can understand baptism, say. You can understand one church of Christ. You can understand taking the Lord's Supper once a week. You can understand this straight and narrow way on a few people going to get. You don't understand few versus many. You understand call him no man father, meaning don't call him father. You understand? You don't call him man. Don't tell us. You don't understand. It's so simple. It's like elementary school. 1 + 1 = 2. Belief plus baptism equals saved. You have not believed? You have not been baptized? If you don't believe that COVID kill you, you're not going to get the vaccination. But if you get on the ventilator like some are doing, they start to repent. Well, they had to see the consequence. They had to feel it before they believed it. Now, same thing will happen on Judgment Day. It's going to be too late then, though. Listen to this guy. Now, here's the order of God speak. That's what I'm trying to do. Speak using my ability to get you to listen, like that young lady did last week. She listened. And she obeyed the gospel. Now, what you going to do? Now, listen to verse 22. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, unless I ask, the chief captain shall come down. I would know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, freedom, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance or minister to come. Felix said, well, I heard a lot, but I want to hear more. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and keep Paul here, but I'm not going to keep him all locked up. I'm giving freedom to my latest friends and those who want to come visit with him, come visit. He got free visitation, all that, and they can minister to Paul. Paul had been beaten. Paul needed care. So here's God working in his favor. That's what I'm saying. It's God using Felix. They were trying to get him put to death. God is using Felix to help him. See that? How God can be. If God is on your side, God be for you, who can be against you? See that? Look at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul, heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And Felix trembled and answered, go not away for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, many people want God at their convenience. Look at this guy. He said, I will call for thee when I got a more convenient season. When is it a better time? Now look at why he wasn't ready. Verse number 26. He hoped also that money should be given him by Paul that he might loosen. He's saying, well, if I just hold him a while, maybe I'll get a little money out of the deal. Wrong motive. See, when people don't want to be saved, no matter what you tell them, the season's not right for them. That's why I try to get members of the church to see. When you're teaching people the truth and they don't want it, they don't want to accept, you get all upset. Not a convenient. They're waiting for a more convenient time. It's not, because their motive is not to be saved. Their motive is to argue with you, or maybe their motive is to one day be your husband or wife, and they're just going along with some stuff you do. They ain't ready right now to obey the gospel. And you want them to obey, but they ain't going to do it. So he had a motive to get some money. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So he did. You know what? He was trying to satisfy everybody. And he's going to leave. He's going to leave Paul in chains. What's the lesson this morning? What's the lesson this morning? The lesson is this: what belief will you confess as you live today? What belief can you confess? We're down the line. Can you confess you believe the Bible? Can you confess that you've done what the sinners did in the Bible to be saved? What did they do, brother? What the sinners did in the Bible to be saved is what Jesus commanded. When Jesus came to this world, God so loved him, John 3:16, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But God didn't send his Son. His Son comes to live on the earth about 33 years, thereabouts. And in the last 24 hours of his life, he had his last supper on death row with his apostle. He left there with the supper. He was kissed by Judas. He told him Judas was going to betray him. He said that to him. Then he went to the garden in his last 25. He cried to his father, let the cup pass. He knew he had to suffer to save us. Then he left there and went to them 6 trials, and they lied on him just like they did Paul. He had not done it. Matter of fact, Pilate said this. I found no fault with him. Pilate admitted that Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. However, because he was an orator of the devil, he was trying to please the people. Pilate had Jesus beat with a whip. He stripped him of his clothes and used a whip, and they beat him with that whip. The whip they used was called a flagellum. They put metal bones and fragments at the end of it. When they hit a man, when they wrap around it, and when they release it, it pulls meat from the bone and has stripes. That's why Isaiah said, Isaiah 50, by his stripes are we healed. Can you visualize Jesus now? He's going through all this for you. He's been beaten. He's bleeding. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head. They put the tree of the cross on his back. And they led him to Calvary. And there in the Calvary, they stripped him naked. How you know he was naked, brother? Because they were gambling over his clothes when he was up on the cross. They drove nails in his hand. And they drove nails in his feet. That's what the Bible says. And they hung him up there between the two thieves. Have you heard this story before? Do you believe it? Then he hung on that cross for 6 hours to save you from dying in your sin. That's the first thing you have to do, is hear this gospel. This is good news. Why is it good news? Because if you don't do something about your sin condition, you're going to die like that. You don't do like this. I'm glad Brittany, I'm glad what she did, what she did. She got baptized. She don't have to die in her sin. She's now Sister Moses. She's been washed in the blood. What's happening? What's happening, Brother Bruce? She heard the gospel no more. The gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection story of a loving Savior who suffered to save your soul. And it ought to prick your heart. It ought to prick your heart that God would love you that much, that let his only son go through such a terrible treatment and a crucifixion, execution by crucifixion for you and me. It touches my heart to hear the story. It touches my heart to tell it every time I tell it. It ought to touch your heart this morning if you have a conscience that God did all this for you and look at you. What can you confess? That you've been baptized? Can you confess you're in the true church? Can you confess you believe the Bible? What can you confess? But what you have to confess to be saved is that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So you hear this gospel. You believe it. Acts 15:7, Hebrews 11:6. Number three, you got to repent. What do you mean? You got to change your mind. You say, brother, I can't confess I've done all this. But then repent. What do you mean? Say, I've been wrong. I need to do it the right way. And you come do it the right way by obeying the Bible, which is the right way. That's the way of righteousness. When you obey the Bible, then you'll be willing to make this confession. And as we find in Acts 8:37, the man wanted to be saved. Philip told him what to do. The man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What Brother Brooks telling you to do? Hear it, the gospel. Believe it, number two. Repent, change your mind. Say, I need to get this right with God. And number four, I'm saying you have to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're saying something because that's faith. You never seen Jesus on the cross. You don't know nothing about it. You never saw that with your eyes. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you got to hear it preached from the word of God by the oracle of God, a man of God who speaks the truth. Then you must be baptized. Number five, you got to be baptized. Why? Baptism. Jesus commanded, Mark 16:15-16, Matthew 28:18, go teach all nations baptizing them. Peter preached it in Acts 2. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. 2:38, Acts 2:38. Repent and each of those people. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized, wash away your sins, call them in the name of the Lord. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 1:5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him, watch this now, watch it. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will you confess today? To anyone who knows you, what could you confess about what you believe? And secondly, what will you confess on the day of judgment when you stand before the judge who already know the truth? I can simplify it for you. I heard it. I believed it. I repented. I confessed. I was baptized. I became a member of the true church according to your word. Or you can confess this. I heard it. I didn't believe it. I didn't repent. I didn't confess. I didn't get baptized, and I'm not a member of Church of Christ. And one more here, you say, well done. And others are going to hear you say, depart. You're going to hear the judge say, depart, because you heard it. You can't say you didn't hear it, but on my program, I'll make sure of that. So what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This I will confess, and my conscience is clear before God and before man after I preach this sermon this morning.